Welcome to Westgate Chapel. Welcome to church. It's good to see you guys. Let's stand up and we'll worship the Lord together. If that's okay with you, that's okay with me, and we'll do it. All right, come on.
Today, and we won't be quiet. Take this time to welcome somebody next to you and say good morning, happy fall, and have a great time worshiping with us today.
All right. We good? Hey, good morning, everybody. I was having so much fun out there with you, I almost forgot I was supposed to be up here as well. So I want to welcome you to our service this morning. You can be seated. If we have not had the opportunity to meet, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate. And I am just thankful you've chosen to be here and to worship with us today. We have got such a great morning planned. And you know, man, the energy in the room right now, it's palpable. I can feel it. You guys are pumped to be at church, yeah? You know how I knew what was coming? First service, they were on time. Might have been that extra hour of sleep. I was amazed. Praise God. I said, let's begin a new trend. Anyway, sorry, I digress. I'm excited you're here and that we get a chance to worship together this morning, especially if you're a guest. If you're a guest here with us today, can I just say welcome? I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us today. I want to encourage you. I know that anytime somebody checks out a church that oftentimes they want to stay anonymous for a little bit, but I want to encourage you, when you decide to take that step of getting connected here at Westgate, the first way to make that step is to grab that connection card that you see in the pew in front of you. That connection card is a great way to get connected. You can fill it out. And what I'd encourage you to do if you fill it out today is to take it at the close of our service out to our main lobby. And we have a guest services center there. And when you walk up, hand them the card. They will, in return, hand you a small gift to say thank you for being here with us today. But again, the hosts that are there would love to talk to you about our church and answer any questions you have and talk to you about how you can get connected. And so I would encourage you to stop by and do that today. As always, I would encourage you, if you are a guest or if you're a longtime member, the best way to stay connected, especially in this busy season leading into the holidays, is to have our Westgate Chapel app. The Westgate Chapel app, you can go to your app store, type in Westgate Chapel Toledo. It'll pull it up, download it, and you will see. Number one, today is what we call hang out and connect. Hopefully you got to do a little bit of that special time where we set up some donuts and drinks over in the atrium, a time for you just to fellowship with each other, especially if you're new, an opportunity to meet some people. We would encourage you again at the close of our service today to use that time well just to connect. If you're a regular attender here at Westgate, use that time to meet some people that are new as well and welcome them to our service. Another thing that you would see on the app is that the International Thanksgiving Dinner is coming very quickly. We're excited about that. Julianne shared about it. One of our big ways that you can get involved serving here at Westgate, we have all the international students and scholars from the University of Toledo that come. We host tables, a huge Thanksgiving dinner, and help them to understand a little bit about Thanksgiving itself as an American holiday, but also the reason we as followers of Christ celebrate this season. And so we would love for you to be a part of that. You can register through the app, you can register online, but we've got ways to serve, whether it's hosting a table, helping to cook the food, being a driver. There are numerous ways. So that is a great way to get connected. As well, we want to remind you that coming up on December 1st, we're going to be having our family Christmas service. And in that service, it's a time where we get together with as a whole family, with all of the kids, all of our students, adults, and we kick off the Christmas season together. Our kids are going to be singing in the service. They're practicing those songs every Sunday, and that'll be exciting. But we'll also have our adult choir that is singing that morning. And if that is your thing and you would like to be a part of the adult choir, we'd invite you to come and participate. You can find this on the app as well. You can register for it, but you'll see on the screen that practices are going to begin on November 7th. Then they're going to go on Thursdays from 6:30 to 8. And so we would love for you to join us if you would like to participate that morning in our Christmas choir. As well, one other thing is a reminder that next Sunday is a special Sunday for us. We're going to be having a baptism Sunday where we get to celebrate what God is doing in people's lives. I am pumped for all of the kids, students, adults that are going to be baptized next Sunday. But I want to remind you as well, if you have never taken that step in your journey with Christ of being baptized, publicly professing your love for him and following of him, we want to invite you to participate in that service as well and be baptized. Whether or not you've gone to one of our classes, you can give me a call or our office a call this week. I would love to connect with you. And so if God is putting it on your heart to take that step, connect with us this week, and we will be sure to make that happen. Now, this morning, as we move into more worship together, I want to remind you that we've been in a series over the last couple of weeks entitled In God We Trust. We chose this series specifically to lead up to the election, recognizing that the season that we've been in politically in our country has caused a lot of division. It seems to be a bit chaotic at times. It also at times seems to be a little bit hate-filled, if you will. And I think one of the things that is so difficult about it as well is that we as Christians are often so susceptible to falling into a place of worry, of anxiety, of maybe not representing Christ the way that we should. And so over the last 2 weeks together, we've talked about these two things. One, the first key word was this. We want you to remember. Remember who your God is. Remember that your God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who sits on his throne. And when fear or anxiety about what's going to happen in this election cycle, fear over who's going to win, what will that mean for our country? You cannot forget that no matter what happens, It does not happen outside of the hand of God allowing it, and He is firmly in control. We can trust Him. The second thing that we talked about last week was that not only do we need to remember that we can trust Him and that He's in control, but we also want to be sure that we are reflecting His love and His character to the world that surrounds us. One thing I've recognized is the temptation that all of us face, especially as Christians, to respond to people that differ from us in a way that does not represent Christ. We represent Him at all times and in all ways, and we need to make sure that we do that, especially with people we disagree with and especially with people that may not know Him. You know, it's interesting because this past week, all of us have been inundated with messages. We've seen them on our TV screens and commercials, inundated with people telling us that if you vote for this person or if you vote for this person, it's going to be the end of democracy. You need to vote for this person to save America. Boy, how many people were inundated with mailers in your mailbox this week?
Oh, help me, right?
I'll tell you what, man, I've got some good fuel for the fire pit. But I will tell you this. What I recognize as we've gone through this season and all the messages that are being thrown that are really meant to cause us to worry, to push us in a direction, people are really worked up. Do you know that over 73 million people have voted already in our country? That's close to 44% of all of the people that voted in the last election. People are worked up. People are concerned. But here's the danger. The danger is that we get caught up in placing our trust in the absolute wrong place. This morning, this service has been designed specifically for a morning of prayer for us as a church. I want nothing more than as we walk into this week that has the potential to be contentious, that has the potential, no matter what party you affiliate with, to not go your way. It has the potential to be something that can continue to divide us, to cause all sorts of anxiety, and to push us further away from our trust in God. And my hope is that today we would center ourselves on the Lord. I want to ask you this question. What's the purpose of prayer? I want you to think about it. What is the purpose of prayer? Oftentimes, we are convinced that prayer is about moving God to our side. Hey, God, I've got this thing that I want, and I would like you to respond quickly if you could, right? And so we come to Him over and over again, fixated on what we believe is the right thing, pleading and begging. It's like when my family goes out to dinner and I say, hey, where are we going? There are so many opinions. And they're all shouted at the same time. And the second that I disagree with them and say, no, we're going this direction, their voices continue to get louder and even more dissatisfied. And sometimes I wonder if our prayer life is a reflection of this. Do we treat prayer this way? Where prayer is really about how we can convince God to move to what we desire? Well, the real purpose of prayer is this. The purpose of prayer is not to bend God's will to ours. The purpose of prayer, rather, is to align our hearts to His. And if you get anything out of this morning, it may be different for you. You're not going to get the typical, you know, hour-long sermon from Rob. You're going to get movements of prayer. And it is designed for you to engage your heart with God, to allow Him to shape it, and for us then to pray together for our nation. And I can think of no better way for us to begin that by beginning with remembering who God is and all that He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I'd invite you to stand with us and sing as we remember Christ and all that He has done.
I take the bread of life.
Take communion together here in just a moment. If you did not grab communion elements on your way in, the ushers are going to come forward and kind of start here at the front and work their way back. Just slip your hand up and they'll bring you some elements so that you can participate with us this morning. As we come to this time of communion and remembering Christ, right, if we're centering our hearts, we want to remember the fact that though we have sinned against God, in his great love for us, he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be restored in a right relationship with him. Man, if there was ever anybody who had a right to be mad, to voice their consternation, to reject, it would be God. And yet in his love, he doesn't reject. He invites us into relationship through his son, Jesus. As we come to this time of communion, it's a time of remembering what he did in sending his son. But we would be remiss if we didn't take time to pause and to ask God to search our hearts, to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and to reveal to us if there's anything that we need to confess and repent before him. And I would ask you, maybe there's sin that you've been wrestling with in your life. Maybe there's something that is between you and another brother or sister in Christ or another person, and you know that there are some things that you've been harboring in your heart that you just need to confess before the Lord. I'd invite you to do that this morning. Maybe as we walk up to this election season, you recognize that you've been trusting in the wrong people or the wrong things. Maybe you realize that maybe the words that you've spoken are not glorifying to God and representative of him. Maybe you recognize that there is hate being developed in your heart for people that God loves dearly and he sent his son to die for. I would invite you during these next few moments together to take your sermon notes. The first page just says, what do you want to ask God for forgiveness for this morning? And as we prepare to take communion, I want us to have just a couple of minutes of silence where we allow God to search our hearts, to reveal the areas where we are not aligned with him, where we have allowed sin in. And let's use this time not just to confess our sin, but to truly repent. God, forgive me and help me to turn from my ways and to follow you. And so ask yourself that question with the Lord this morning. God, what is it that you want to reveal to me? And what is it that you want to ask him for forgiveness for? Let's take a few moments in silent individual prayer. Pray that you would hear our prayers as they rise before your throne this morning. As we come and we bear our hearts to you, recognizing, God, that there are ways in our lives where we have sinned against you, where we have not represented you appropriately, where we have not honored you and glorified you with our lives. I thank you, God, as we come and we confess our sin, that your word tells us that you are faithful and you are just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank you, God, for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, who you gave to come and to die and pay the penalty for our sin so that all of our sin would be covered by his blood. God, I ask that as we confess that you would forgive, but even more, that our hearts would be in a humble place, God, where you could continue to work and change and transform them, that true repentance would take place, not just confession, but that, God, we would desire to make a shift in our lives, enabled by your Holy Spirit, in order to bring glory to you in all ways. And so, God, as we remember what you have done, change and transform our hearts this morning. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. Think of the power of those words. The night when Jesus was betrayed, betrayal. It causes us to want to strike back, to get even, to find revenge, to harbor hate in our hearts. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, what? This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What was Jesus saying? On the night and the coming day where he would experience the fullness of our sin, on his life. He gave everything for us. Let's take the bread and remember together. And Paul continues and says, in the same way that he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." You proclaim that his very blood is covered over the sin that we have committed against him. You proclaim that his blood was shed for his creation so that we could be restored to a right relationship with him. You proclaim that his blood was for you, but his blood is for the worst of sinners in this world. And as we drink, we remember the extent of his love, his grace, and his mercy. Let's take together. Let's continue to worship together as we sing our gratitude to the Lord.
Inside of those stones, get up and pray.
Seated. You know, what is it? What is it about trust? It's so easy to trust when things are going well. Amen? When things are going well, it's easy to trust. Trust God. Yeah, God, I trust you. I believe that you're good. And yet when things get hard, when things seem out of control, when it feels like our world is full of chaos, whether that's because of the coming election and all that's going on with that, maybe it's a health crisis in your life, maybe it's a struggling marriage, maybe it's there are any number of things. It is so easy to trust God when things are good, so hard when things feel out of control, because we don't feel like we have control. What is it that brings us, though, to a place of being able to truly trust God? What determines our response no matter what season we're in? I want you to think about two things. 2 weeks ago when we began, we took a look at Isaiah chapter 6 together. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 6 and the season that the nation of Israel was going through. Two kingdoms that were divided, Judah in the south, Israel in the north. And here's Isaiah in the midst of it all. The nation of Israel is going through a transition in their own leadership politically. People are worried about who was going to lead the nation. Things seemed out of control. And even more, we know from what we read in Scripture that the hearts of God's people were walking away from him, not towards him. That they were giving themselves to idols and trusting in men and trusting in many other things aside from him. And in the midst of this, we have Isaiah. Isaiah in Isaiah 6, who gets this incredible vision from the Lord, where he looks and he sees God on his throne and all of his power. No doubt he is astounded by what he sees. What an incredible moment. And as we talked about, you would think that for Isaiah, his response must have just been like, yes, here we go. We're going to take the hill. We're going to go. And now that I've seen God and all of his power and how much control he has over everything, it doesn't matter what happens. Things are going to go my way. Let's go. But what happens following that section of scripture that we looked at after Isaiah has this incredible vision? He finds out from God that God essentially says, I'm going to punish my people. I'm going to raise up another nation, a strong nation, that is going to conquer them and drag them into exile. Because my people need to repent of their sinful ways and be drawn back to trusting in me. Can you imagine for a moment what that must have been like for Isaiah when things didn't go his way? I mean, he thought to himself, surely I've seen the Lord now. I've seen him in power and glory, and he's going to fix all these things. Yet the message he gets from God isn't what he was expecting. Something that could happen for any of us in this coming week. But what's so amazing to me as I look at this passage is that Isaiah faithfully follows the Lord. Faithfully. He goes as God's messenger to deliver this message to God's people and to call them to repentance. He doesn't get despondent. He doesn't sit down in dust and ashes and just throw in the towel. He continues to faithfully follow. I want you to contrast that with another person that came years before Isaiah, but in very similar circumstances. You see, the nation of Assyria was a strong nation. This is the nation that ultimately would conquer Israel. And there's a man in the Bible by the name of Jonah, someone that if you've been around the Bible at all, you've probably heard about Jonah and the whale. And Jonah was called by God to go to Assyria, to go to Nineveh, and to share with them that they needed to repent of their sin, or God was going to bring calamity on this nation, a nation that ultimately one day would conquer Israel. And what's Jonah's response? Not a chance, God. I want nothing to do with this. I don't want to see any repentance. I mean, I could literally see Jonah going, let your fire fall on Nineveh. Woo, right? And yet, he runs from God. We know the story. He gets on a boat. He tries to run. God causes a storm to come up. They toss him over into the boat to get the storm to stop. A whale swallows him, spits him out. And Jonah, going through this, relents and says, okay, God, fine. I'll do what you want. And he goes and he preaches this message to the people of Nineveh, and they repent. And what's so interesting to me is that after he goes and he does what God asks him to do and the people repent, we find Jonah at the end of the book sitting under a tree, a bitter old soul, just angry, unhappy about what has just taken place. Completely detached from what God was doing and God's purposes, but only focused on himself. A contrast. And I want to ask you a question. As you think about Jonah, as you think about Isaiah, as you think about ourselves and our response of whether or not we will trust God or not, what is it that determines our response of trust? And from looking at these two individuals, the answer to that question is, what determines our response is where we focus our eyes. Isaiah kept his eyes focused on the Lord, knowing that God was in control, that God would ultimately fulfill his great purposes that were far beyond anything he could understand, but because he knew his power, he could trust him. He had seen it, he had experienced it. For Jonah, he kept his eyes focused on the problem in front of him, the things that he didn't want to happen. Rather than focusing on the Lord, he kept his eyes focused on the issue. And because of that, his response was not trust, but continuing to toil in his own worry, in his own anxiety, ultimately turning about his own anger. I want us to think about that this morning as we think about the coming election and what is taking place in our own country. What is it that will determine whether or not we will truly trust in God in this season? Is it that we will keep our eyes fixed on the issues that are happening and all the things we hear in the news, whether they're true or not? Or is it going to be because we keep our eyes solely fixed on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we know that no matter what the outcome is this coming Tuesday, that he is in control? I would offer to you this morning, I would like us to engage in a moment of journaling prayer. If you have your sermon notes on page 2, I'd like you to take just a couple of minutes to journal an answer to the two questions on this page, and to use it as a time to allow God to search your heart and to allow you to align your heart to his. The first question is this: with the election that is approaching, in what ways have you struggled to trust God? I would love for you to take, just write down a couple of words, or maybe it's a few sentences, that just express, as you search with the Lord and allow him to search your heart, what are the ways you have struggled to trust him? How have you seen that in your own life? But the second question I want you to move into is one of hope. How do you know that you can trust God no matter what happens in this season that we're walking in our country? What attributes of God, what things do you know about him that lead you to a place of trust? Even more, how have you seen God work in your life? What things has he done to show you that he is worthy of your trust? I want you to take a few moments and prayerfully journal the answers to these two questions as an act of prayer and an act of worship of the Lord. Where have I struggled? Confess that to the Lord. But then worship him with how you know you can trust him. Maybe it's just a word or an attribute. Maybe it's something that he has done in your life. And then when you finish, after a few minutes, we're going to collectively come together and call out these things to the Lord of how we know we can trust him. Let's journal together. forgive us for the ways in which we have struggled to trust you. Lord, forgive us for the times where we have allowed ourselves to be drawn so that our eyes are not on you, but our eyes are on the situations that surround us. We confess to you that it is easy, Lord, to put our eyes on the messages that are being blasted in front of us day in and day out, to find ourselves in a place of worry or anxiety over what we might lose, at least we think we might lose, rather than putting our hope and our trust in you. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for losing trust in such a way that we would speak words to others that push them further away from you and that bring division rather than bringing us to a place of unity and of showing and sharing your love with others. Forgive us for not trusting you, Lord. But I thank you, God, for who you are. I thank you, God, for how you've proven yourself over and over again. And I ask, God, that you would enable each of us, especially in this season, to keep our eyes fully fixed on you and what you have done, that it would turn our hearts to trust you. In a moment of worship and of prayer, church family, I want us to corporately together just take a moment. And I want to encourage you to shout out, what are one of those attributes of who God is that enables you to know that you can trust him? What is it, maybe a small sentence of how you have seen God move in your life that enables you to trust him? Let's shout those words out together as an encouragement to each other, but also as worship to our God, that he would use them to shape our hearts to a place of knowing that we can trust him.
He's unchanging.
Amen. Just shout them out loudly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Always in control.
Always.
Your mercy and love follow me all the days of my life.
As you think of all of these things and all of these attributes, remember that this is the God who loves you, who has given everything so that you could be in a relationship with him. He is with you at all times and in all ways, and he is working out his perfect purposes in this world and especially in your individual life for the purpose of eternity. And because he is all of those things, he is good, he is our healer, he is our redeemer, he is our savior, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of these things that we have offered up in worship to him this morning is the very reason that we can put our hope and our trust in him in these days ahead, no matter what happens. And so let us worship together and sing with all of our hearts to the Lord of the firm foundation that we have in him.
Christ is my firm foundation. I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. He won't. sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. And He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season.
Shout to the Lord if you believe that this morning. God is good. He will not fail. He will not fail. I invite you to grab a seat with us. So we move into this next movement of prayer. We have taken time to posture our hearts, to remind ourselves of who God is, how He is for us. He loves us, to know that we can trust in Him. And now, as we have prepared our hearts, I want to take a time for us as a church family to stop and to pray over this coming week. I want you to spend some time, whether it is as an individual right where you are, which is fine, just quietly praying with the Lord, whether you want to group together with your family or friends that you may be sitting near. But I want to give us 5 prayer prompts. You'll see them on the last page of your notes. They'll also be on the screen this morning. Where as a church family, we're going to corporately lift our prayer together over this coming week in numerous different things. And I would invite you, as you pray in your groups, just to pray out loud and to lift those and to fill this room and to invite God not only to move and to act, but especially to shape our hearts for Him. And so the first prayer prompt, as we put it up here on the screen together, is this. I want us to take a couple of minutes to pray for our community and its leaders. One thing that I know is that we often get just focused on the national election that's taking place, but there is a lot going on in our community. Elections that are happening, things that may make our hearts anxious, but even more, I want us to be praying that God would give His church an incredible influence amongst the non-believing community here in Toledo. And so let's take just the next couple of minutes, either individually or in our groups, to lift up prayer for our community and for its leaders, and that the gospel would be boldly proclaimed here in Toledo. Let's take a few moments and pray together. Presidential candidates. Now, if you're anything like me, you may not really be thrilled about either of them, but I want to remind you of this truth. God loves them both. He wants both of their hearts. And I want to ask you, church, to pray what could be for some of you, depending on where you fall, a very difficult prayer. Would you pray for God's blessing on both of them? Would you pray that God would bring godly men and women into both of their lives that would lead them to Him? You may be tempted to say, that'll never work. But don't forget what happened with Jonah in Nineveh as God turned the heart of a nation towards him that did not know Him. Nothing is impossible with God. Pray God's blessing over them. Pray for wisdom. And pray that no matter what happens, we would trust Him. Let's pray.
of division in our nation over the past many months and years. And I want you to take just a few moments in this next prompt to pray for healing to begin to take place in our divided nation. But I would ask that you would pray that it would begin with God's church, that healing would take place here amongst us, and that it would spread, and that God would heal and unite this country. God's will would be done, and that your heart would be good with what He allows. Is a revival of God's people turning their hearts back to Him. It begins, though, with each of us as individuals. We're not just praying for the hearts of other people to be changed, but our prayer is, God, would you change me first? And so would you pray this morning that God would cause revival in your life, and it would be infectious and sweep across this city, and that it would sweep across this nation. That the church would rise up as a beacon of light amongst the darkness. Let's pray. Thank you. Father, as we go through this season, it is so easy to take our eyes off of you. But I thank you that we are consistently reminded that you sit on your throne, that God, you are in control of all things. And God, I pray most of all that the first and most important work that you would do as we seek you is that you would radically alter and change our own hearts. Cause us to be fully surrendered to you as your people. God, that the deepest desires of our hearts would be your desires and your will and your purposes for us. And as we surrender and we pour out all that we are to you, God, we pray that you would fill us with your purposes and that you would use us to be a beacon of light in this community and truly throughout the world. We confess to you, God, this morning, our trust in them. We'll hear all of the rhetoric about how things are going to fall apart. God, we know that it never will because you are in control. And though this world will one day pass away, you never will. And you, God, will reign forever and for eternity. And with our faith and trust in you, we will reign with you forever. And so, God, I pray that you would remind us of that incredible hope that can be never can be taken from us. And that it would change the way that we live in this world. I ask that you would cause us in these days to be salt and to be light in this world as we go from this place so that others would see and know you. And so, God, we surrender it all to you. We worship you, God, and we profess to you this morning our complete hope and trust is in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If I can give you a closing charge before we sing this last song of worship to the Lord, it would simply be this. As we go into this week and the rhetoric continues, my hope is that you've been able to set your heart on the Lord this morning, but especially be reminded not of just who's in control and not of just how you'll respond, but God has called you as his people to be a light in the darkness. And in this season in our nation, this nation needs more than ever for the church to rise up and to be who God called us to be. And so this week, I know and I trust and I believe that God is going to place you in situations with people where your life will either be a reflection of a person whose life is kind of in turmoil and chaos because we're trusting in the systems of the world, or if you truly put your hope and trust in God, no matter what happens, what will people see? They will see a peace in you that this world cannot offer. They have the potential to see love from you that this world does not offer. And from it, they have the opportunity to see your Savior. And so as we go into this week, remember the opportunity that God is giving you to be a light to other people in the midst of this darkness. And let's live together with this truth that our hope, our faith, and our trust is in Christ and Christ alone. Would you stand and worship with us?
My hope is found.
to final breath, Jesus commands my
things to share with you before you go. First thing, I know there are some people in the back going, he didn't take the offering. So, planned. I didn't want to disturb our time of prayer. We do want to worship the Lord with our offering. And so, I just ask, if you're on the center aisles, you can grab those buckets. And as I talk, let's just pass them and collect our offering this morning as an act of worship to the Lord. As we give back to him, our ushers will be around to help as well. A couple of things I want to remind you of as we take our offering. Number one is this. Reminder that today, Hangout and Connect is still taking place. We got donuts and drinks, I believe, unless you guys scarfed them all between services. But I believe that we've still got those. It's a great time to connect. Can I exhort you in this? If you're new, it's a great time to meet new people. Hey, church, if you've been here for a while, it's a great time to meet new people. Can you turn, find people today at Hangout and Connect that you have not met? Welcome them into our church. And let's encourage one another today with that. Number two, this week you may not know that Westgate, you may know, Westgate is used as a polling station on Tuesday for a large segment of our community. This gymnasium will likely be full of people all day long going in and out. Lines wrapped around the building. We've got a table that's set up where our staff is going to be manning it from the very beginning of it all till the very end of it all out here in the east entrance. Can I just invite you as a church family to pray over our staff and over that time that we would be able to be a light to the people in the community that directly surrounds us as we seek to neighbor well in that way. And then lastly, church, as we go out, we have got a call that God has placed on our life to be the light of Jesus. And so I want to close by simply praying a prayer over you that God would use you this week. Would you pray with me? To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is seated on his throne, where he is worshiped day and night by his angels. Oh God, we profess our hope and our trust in you and you alone this morning. Lord, when the systems and people of this world fail us, you never will. And we proclaim that this morning.
And we ask, God, that as we go into this week, you would cause us to live that truth in our lives. Father, would you calm our anxious hearts? Would you remove our fears? Would you keep our eyes firmly fixed on you, who is in control of all things? And no matter what happens, Father, would you cause your Spirit that lives and resides within us to bear fruit in such a way that those we disagree with and see things different than, that we would not find ourselves in divisiveness or arguments or having hatred built up in our heart, but God, would you help us to shine the light and love of your Son, Jesus Christ, at all times, that people would experience our peace and our love, and that they would recognize that it comes from you and you alone. And so, Father, for every individual in this room, I pray that you would touch their heart this morning and open their eyes to see with spiritual eyes as they go into this week the opportunities that you are giving them to be a light in the midst of the darkness. Use them, God, and bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in your matchless name. Amen. God bless you, church. Go out and serve the Lord with all your heart this week. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday.